Today's guest, Joel Egan, is a designer out of Washington State. He was on the program before. He's the company's principal, Cargo Texture. He's a Seattle native, and he studied experimental psychology, and the effects of the five human senses led to his deep understanding of function and form and the human experience of the built structure. Then he mastered in residential design and construction in extreme hot, cold weather environments, and then he earned his master's in architecture from Oregon in 2020. So he was a licensed architect, moved back to the state of Washington. He worked in France, Italy, and Japan, and now he's primarily a designer in his company, Cargo Texture. Welcome back to Radio Real Estate, Joel Egan.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it.
Okay, good to talk to you again. I'm sure we have a lot of good things happening. You focus now on your company, Cargo Texture, and it's becoming more popular, and you build both single-family homes, accessory dwelling units, multiple family units, and commercial. And his website is cargotexture.com, cargotexture.com. I went there, and I saw a bunch of different projects, and we'll get into details about if someone wants to build one and how you go through the steps. But your website is so interesting, and there's different projects. I thought if I could just name some, and you could just give a thumbnail sketch of each one.
Of course.
Okay, good. Otherwise, if you said no, we'd be in big trouble. I don't know where I'd go. Okay, Westport Cargo Market. What is that?
That is a market where it was a seasonal market that we designed for clients. And I think what is interesting about that is it was, you know, fairly low budget, commercial use for selling surf equipment and things related to surfing at Westport, Washington, out there on the Pacific Coast. And, you know, we brought electric to the site. There was already water. And the design has relocatable concrete block foundations. I think that's something that's interesting about it. That's something that I patented a few years ago. They are meant for cargo container buildings, and it's a foundation that travels with the building. It's less expensive to install. It's less expensive to own, and, of course, you can take it with you. Because the buildings are designed to last for 200 years or more, they really are designed to be relocated. And so now you can relocate them with the foundation.
Wow, that's amazing, because pouring a concrete slab is a job. And once you pour it, it's done and you leave it there. But if you know, we have when we're selling real estate here in Santa Barbara, and some things are not included. And if it's attached to the property, the contract says it's included unless you exclude it. So I suppose someone could have a accessory dwelling unit in their backyard built on your patented relocatable block foundation, and they could not include the ADU.
That's right. Or, you know, someone could have an opportunity for an ADU in their backyard, but at the same time, they think that they may sell the property and, you know, someone may raise the house or expand the house or something like that. And they may have family members who would want, an accessory dwelling unit cabin out in the woods someday. So what they can do is they can get one of these homes on its relocatable foundation, make money on the backyard cottage as an Airbnb or otherwise rental. And then when they're ready to sell the property, they can make the decision to move or will or, you know, to their heirs, the ADU, the accessory dwelling unit. It's complete home in the backyard. And I have multiple different sizes that are going to fit. And, of course, then the foundation goes with it.
Before, my guest is Joel Egan. He's a architectural designer up at his company Cargo Texture, cargotexture.com out of Washington State, but sells in California. And before I go to the next photo that I saw on your website, just real quickly, because you mentioned sizes, and these are shipping containers, can you give me some different dimensions?
Yes, I can. I mean, essentially, they are in length, they are, 20 feet, 40 feet, 45, 48, and 53. 20s are not a good idea. Those seem to be something that the public gravitates onto, but most of the 95% of the 20-foot containers are what you call standard height. And standard height, it's 8'6" on the outside. Once I insulate and I insulate on the inside, you only have like a 7'4" ceiling height, and that's not high enough. So the what's called high cube, that's most of them at 40 feet and larger, and very few 20s are high cube. Those are 9'6" on the outside, providing an 8'4" ceiling height when I insulate. So all my buildings are high cube. So I typically use the 40s, the 45s. The 48s are almost impossible to get for industry reasons, and 53s. I can use those. And, yeah, those are the sizes I start with. I typically split them in half and square them. So, you know, my favorite design, which isn't on my website, I submit for registered copyright. My favorite design right now is called the C360 Lookout, and it is a double wide out of a 45-foot container that's been cut in half. So I cut the, I have the fabric, I'm not a fabricator, I'm a designer, but I know of a dozen fabricators. I have the fabricator cut them in half and reframe them and then square them, and I can make an accessory dwelling unit of 360 square feet. It's got all features. It's a one-bedroom home, bathtub, fireplace, dishwasher, you know, every washer, dryer, everything. And that unit becomes a, has a footprint of 16 feet by 22 and a half feet. So and that's an excellent design.
So that was my next question. We started with you giving me the variety of lengths that the shipping containers come in, 20 feet, 40 feet, 45, 48, 53 feet. And now you're telling me you cut the 45 foot in half and it's 16 feet wide. So does that mean these shipping containers are 8 feet wide?
Yes, except for the 48s and 53s, which are 8'6" wide. A heads up is that, you know, all of my model numbers are the area in square feet. That's how I keep track.
Oh.
And anything that's called a lookout is a double-wide home. So, you know, if I say the C360 lookout, I know I'm working with a 45-foot container that's been cut in half and squared. And if I'm talking about the C450 lookout, that's a 53-foot container that's been cut in half and squared.
Wow. So you cut it in half. Do you then take off the size to make it one room?
Yeah, the much of the adjacent long wall is removed in a double wide. Not too much that it, I don't want it to rack during shipment. And, you know, sometimes we generate pick points for the engineer to designate when it gets strapped up and picked up off a truck and set onto a foundation. So I don't want to remove the whole thing. The whole, all of one wall completely removed is a bit of a challenge. It leads to bracing that the factory puts in that you don't get your money back for. So, you know, I try to avoid that. I try to have these things ship without bracing.
My guest is Joel Egan. He's an architectural designer. Company is Cargo Texture, cargotexture.com. So 8 feet. So I'm trying to remember what the legal, most people have 8 foot ceilings, but it's not, you don't need an 8 foot ceiling to make something habitable space. I wonder if
it's
seven feet.
Yeah. In the code, you're allowed to make rooms that are 7 feet. And then you can't count anything as square footage less than 5 feet. I mean, you can make some pretty tiny rooms.
What was the term that you used to describe the shipping container that is got that height, the 8'4" height?
Oh, it's called high cube.
High
which
cube
is often referred to as HC. So if you see the number, you know, if somebody wants to buy a 40-foot container, they're gonna they'll see either 40ST, which means it's 8'6" tall in the standard, or they'll see 40-foot HC, which is high cube, and that is a 9'6" tall cargo container. That's the tallest thing that you can ship on a typical truck. I mean, we have a 14'6" federal height limit on our highways, but once you get it on a deck of a truck, it gets up there. So you know, that's what I typically use is the HiCube 9'6" unit.
And to remind everybody, that's an exterior measurement. You want to come in and insulate.
Yeah.
You want to come in and insulate. So that's very interesting. Very interesting. So now we got the dimensions and your preference and all that. I wish there was a better name than double wide, because that's a term used in manufactured homes. And there's got to be a better term than double wide.
I mean, that's why I call them lookouts. A lookout, you know, it's two containers wide. The advantages of the container are that they ship easily, cheaply, without flag cars. And, you know, anybody with a commercial driver's license can drive them. They can be dragged. They're heavy duty. They can be dragged by a bulldozer. They can be picked up by an excavator with a chain around the bucket. You know, they can be picked up in many different ways. They're just really durable boxes. So, they're not like manufactured housing, but I do understand, you know, double wide is a term.
No, it's not a big deal. Not a big deal. What do they weigh?
Once they're insulated and fixed out, you know, I tend to plug in a number of about 55 pounds per square foot for a building.
Wow.
You know, so they take footings. You know, you mentioned slabs. Slabs are not really what they need when you do a building. Cargo containers are so durable. They'll stack 14 high on a ship. They're locked together with, you know, locking cones. And they can carry 235 pounds per square foot. So, I mean, you can do the math. If each cargo container in a 40 is 320 square feet times 235 times 14, it's a huge, it's millions of pounds coming down. And these things can handle it.
And we'll continue on your website. And because I saw, well, let's jump to this one. This was my third on my list. Three-story retail, and I guess at the same time you can talk about the other one that's a sales office over condominium and four apartments over two commercials. So we've got these multi-story units. Talk about those.
Yes. You know, containers that in a seismic zone like California, Oregon, Washington, you know, typically three, and I know of an engineer who's able to do four-story buildings with these containers with really no, you know, extra features done to them. And they would be, you know, more steel basically put in the walls. So a three-story building is a slam dunk, even in a seismic zone. So the C3600 commercial lofts are up here in Georgetown neighborhood of Seattle, just south of downtown. And that's the, to my knowledge, that 7,200 square feet project is the largest one west of the Mississippi. It's been there since 2011. It won like the greenest building of the year in Seattle. Actually, I think it was 2009 is when it was completed. So, you know, it's been there a while, and, you know, it's survived really quite well. That's an industrial and residential mixed neighborhood, so it fits the context container-wise. And, you know, that's a durable, popular building. It's become kind of a landmark in the neighborhood.
My guest is Joel Egan. He's an architecture designer out of Cargo Texture is his company. I meant to say out of Washington State. CargoTexture.com. Fascinating photos. And on the outside, you can just about put anything you want on them.
That's right. I have invented a system of panels that hang on the outside of the containers without any tools. So they're, you know, all of these buildings are essentially factory built. I like to say that the factories bid to my clients after I design something custom to them. The third party factories bid a move-in ready home and delivered to their factory gate. They're not, there's not really a place for any homeowner who needs to come back and do things like install water heaters or insulation or anything like that. It just makes better sense, and the factory's got a better efficiency for competing And so, you know, I've lost what the question is.
Well, I was asking you about exterior options. You started to talk about the panels.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I'm sorry, I got a little off track. So one of the things that the factories can bid is the exterior siding, and those exterior sidings can be things like, you know, beautiful stained plywood with score lines in it. So, you know, picture like birch or maple that's just gotten a really nice exterior stain on it. Another way to do it is horizontal 1x6. I like redwood. It's very durable. And I have a system for, you know, putting those things at the 1x6s at a spacing that allows you to see the cargo container that's like an inch or two behind the siding. So you can still see the container between these horizontal bands of 1x6. They get a nice stain on them. And then, of course, they're all actually a panel. And they'll lay on the floor for shipment, stacked and shipped. So same with the roof. The roof modules on a double wide, they're very thin. You know, they're maybe 8 inches tall by 16 feet long. They have a gentle slope to them to shed water. And, you know, several of them will cover the cargo container crosswise, not in the parallel direction with the containers. And you just lay them on top, and then a rubber sheet goes on top, like one of these commercial grade membranes.
Yeah,
and those,
yeah.
All of that can be shipped from the factory, but the rubber sheet and the roof modules themselves can all be packed into the cargo containers for shipment.
That, boy, that's the way to build a roof. One of my sponsors, Action Roofing, he was just on a couple of weeks ago, and we were talking about the rubber membrane that the commercial use for flat roofs. But you have a pitch, and you use that and combine with a regular shingled roof?
There's not a shingle on it, no.
Okay.
Essentially, when you take two cargo containers and you set them side by side, there's going to be a three-quarter, where it's more like a half-inch gap, or three-eighths of an inch gap between the two, what they call top rails, the two top steel square tubes that are adjacent to each other. And typically what I do is I put 50 or caulk in that and fill that up. But I don't think that I'm done there. And most jurisdictions require that you do something to shed water off the roof. So what I've created is roof modules, which are just basically tapered roof joists that span crosswise and have a gentle slope on them. And there's really nothing in them. They're not insulated inside. These are, you know, actually, you know, four people can pick one of these things up. Just picture a 16-foot length of plywood or OSB with, you know,
right,
a bunch of joists underneath it. Not too heavy for four people to pick up and shove up there and secure to the roof. And then it gives the roof a slope. A rubber sheet can go on top of that. And then we're good.
And because the shipping container itself has the solid roof already, and this is just simply to shed water and give it an aesthetic look. Yeah, yeah, that makes sense.
When people say belt and suspenders, you know, the belt is, you know, that cargo container roof and the 50-year caulk, and then the suspenders is this, you know, single sheet like a rain hat over the whole building. So we're really avoiding any kind of water penetration whatsoever. I also don't penetrate the roof as best as I can. If plumbing code allows it, I go through the walls and sort of elbow or stovepipe up from there if I need to. I hardly ever penetrate that membrane.
For like vents for the plumbing?
Yeah, for vents.
Nice,
yeah,
nice.
Most of my plumbing is on the exterior wall, and I figure a way to vent out the wall.
Fascinating. Again, the website is cargotexture.com if you're interested in shipping containers. Joel Egan is the company's principal. He's a designer. He was an architect, but he doesn't practice now. He farms that out. He farms out engineering, farms out structural work, but he designs it all. And you know what, Joel? I thought this might just be one segment, but if you have another 10 minutes, can we take a commercial break and come back and finish? Great,
yeah.
Because I wanted to, when we come back, I'm going to ask you cost. And what if someone wants to put in an accessory dwelling unit in their backyard? And then you can kind of describe that. And then we can go back to your website and continue talking about different projects on your website. The last one was public restroom, which is very interesting because I've seen prices for restrooms that are insane, but I'm sure a lot of that has to do with the plumbing and getting to it. My guest is Joel Egan, designer, Cargo Texture. You're listening to Mark Schneidman's Radio Real Estate, radiorealestate.com. Stay tuned. You'll be right back.